So if I'm honest, this is a little bit of a rough holiday. Because kind of the whole point of why you get together on a Good Friday is to remember that Jesus came to save us, that he came to rescue us. And that means that there's a part of this that means that I need to admit that I'm someone who needs to be saved, that there's a part of me that needs to be rescued, that I have to admit that I have problems that I can't solve myself, that I need help. And here's what's true of me, and I think it's true of some of you guys too, because I know some of you pretty well, is I am all about helping other people. I'm willing, if someone wants to sit down and talk, if someone needs someone to keep them accountable to like work through getting over a habit or some sort of an addiction, if someone needs someone to help them move some stuff, I'm willing to help somebody else do just about anything. But if I have to ask somebody else for help, if I have to admit that there's a part of me that is a little bit lonely sometimes, a part of me that's a little bit scared sometimes, if I have to admit that sometimes I'm not the best dad, I'm not the best husband, if I have to admit that there's some things that I can't fix, I don't really like to do that. A couple of years ago, I noticed when I was looking in the mirror one day that there wasn't as much going on up top as there used to be a couple years ago. And I was honestly pretty embarrassed by that. But I kind of assumed that most other people probably didn't know yet. And most other people really hadn't noticed. And so I could probably take care of the issue and then no one would know that I was losing my hair. But I didn't want anyone to know that I knew that it was a problem, or I didn't want anyone to think that I really cared about it. And so I went to the store and I bought a product, Rogaine. And I don't know if any of you have used Rogaine, and maybe it's worked exceptionally well for some of you. It did not work for me. But I did not want anyone to know that I was using this product, including my wife. So I bought it at a store, Rite Aid, and I took it back to my office. And I went in the bathroom, and there was no one else in the bathroom. And so I put some on my hand, and I put it in my hair, and I was putting it in there. And then my boss walked in. I'm like, "Hey, what are you doing, John?" New mousse? I don't know. Something that would maybe help. And I just felt so embarrassed in that moment. And I think that's how a lot of us live through a lot of moments of our lives. We have these things that we're trying to hide from other people, and we think maybe no one else has really noticed yet, even though the truth is they probably have seen the spots on our head. They probably know way more than what we would ever think anyone else knows. But we try to hide. And if they ever think that we're trying to fix it in one way or another, we want to try to hide that. Because there's other people that have real problems and have real, yeah, but like, we're pretty assured ourselves. And if you're someone who has regrets, if you're someone who has mistakes in your life, like Craig said, we want you to know that you are not alone. And you're not alone even in spiritual company when it comes to spiritual greats that have lived throughout the last 2,000 years. You are not alone. One of the first Christians was a guy named Paul. And Paul wrote a letter about 25 years after the resurrection and the crucifixion of Jesus to a church in Rome. And in that letter, he talks about this idea, and here's what he says. He says, "I do not understand what I do." And that's a great line, isn't it? If you're new to church world, sometimes Christians will have what they'll call something like a life verse. And they'll put it like an email, they'll have their signature, then they'll put a verse on there. Some people will get a verse tattooed on them somewhere.
I would think that would be a great life verse to have. I don't
understand what I do. There's times where I say things and I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I ate that. I don't know why I can't control my temper. There's certain things that I do, that I say, habits that I have that I can't break, and I don't know why I do them. He goes on. He says, "For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." And man, I have felt like that. And it's not that I want to do the right things. And sometimes I'll even have a little go of it where it'll be a couple days, a couple hours, a week, where I feel like I'm really kind of getting my act together and I'm starting to do the things that I'm not doing, the things that I shouldn't do. And then it all falls off. I have this image of who I want to be and who I actually am many times. It's short of that. The other day I was walking, running through the neighborhood, and as I was going through the neighborhood, I saw this sign, and it was obviously kind of an initiative that someone in the neighborhood, city, I don't know, put together of, here's what this street should look like. It should look like, you know, this tree that's nice and, you know, beautiful and clean sidewalk. And, you know, can you just imagine if all of our sidewalks, if this sidewalk looked like this? But then you can see right next to the sign, that same walkway in reality. Trash everywhere, dirty sidewalk. And that's me. We just got done in our church with this series going through the Ten Commandments. And every single one, I love it. You know, I'm going to take a day each week and I'm going to rest and just relax. I'm going to honor my parents. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to be free of lust. I'm going to be free of anger. I'm going to live a certain way. I like it. I agree with it. But what I actually do is not what I want to do. And sometimes what I do is what I hate. Sometimes what I do hurts the people that I love most. Sometimes what I do is the things that I despise the most. The commentary I read about this verse, it talks about Paul is kind of this figure of the I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I hate. And here's what he says about it. He says the I in that is a tragic figure. Powerless, pathetic, and pitiful, as he knows what he ought to do, but is entirely unable to do it. And here's what Paul says about himself. He says, "What a wretched man I am." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I feel like that sometimes, and maybe you feel like that sometimes. And here's part of what we want to say tonight, is that if you've ever felt like a wretch, if you've ever felt like a mistaker, that's a good thing. That's a positive step. Because we all know people that don't see themselves as ever doing anything wrong, who always do everything perfect. Maybe you work with someone who always does everything perfect. Maybe you're going to have dinner or brunch on Sunday with someone like this who always does everything. And none of us really want to spend time with someone who can't see any of their own flaws. It's an incredibly important and powerful thing to be able to look in the mirror and say, I am someone who has issues. I am not perfect. There's things that I need to get better at. We used to do on Good Friday, a prayer walk, and there'd be different stations. And one of the stations was to look into a mirror. And on the mirror, we would write the words across it. So you're basically writing across your own face, saying, I, Jonathan Hendrick, am a sinner. That's an important step. But that shouldn't be our last step.
Because it's easy to let that just define you, and pretty soon that's all you are. I'm just a wretch. I'm someone who makes mistakes, and I'm never going to do it right, and we just fall into this guilt and shame spiral. We want to be the kind of people that are humble enough to ask for help. Here's how Paul says it. He says, "Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Who can help?" And that's a good question, because we all know when it comes to mistakes, there's lots of things that we can do to try to rescue us. We can turn to drinking too much. We can turn to eating too much. We can turn to binging on Netflix too much. We can turn to telling a lie to try to get out of the other lie. We can try to blame other people. And in the end, we can put our head down and try really, really, really hard. But in the end, we end up back in the same place. And he says that there's a better way. And I think our friends in the 12-step programs, like AA, absolutely nailed this. And the AA 12-step program pulled a lot of this from the Bible and from the verse, from this verse. Here's what they say. He says that we need to admit that we are powerless. And they're saying over alcohol, but over something else for some of us. That our lives have become unmanageable. That's a big step, to admit that it's a part of our lives that has become unmanageable. Our worry, our amount of stress, debt, spending, the way we speak, it can't sustain anymore. It's got to stop. And then we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. There's got to be something that could bring me back to sanity. Can you imagine? And then we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. And here's how we understand that higher power. Here's how we understand God. He says this. He says, "Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that's what Good Friday is all about, that Jesus came to save us, to help us. He goes on, he says, "Who then is the one who condemns?" Who is the one that looks at us and says, "You are someone who is worthless and beyond help and beyond love"? No one. And he ends this segment by saying this, "For I am convinced," and that is my prayer for all of us, "that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The message of Good Friday is that God knows. He knows about the spot on your head. He knows about your mistake. He knows about your regret. Even if nobody else does, He knows. But He doesn't condemn you. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. If someone is willing to die for you, that person is for you. You never have to wonder one day of your life if you are on okay standards with God. God loves you. And the amazing thing, what some of us have found who are in this room, is when that knowledge of how much God loves you, the grace that you've been given, drops from your head into your heart, it starts to change things inside you. It's not a magic hocus pocus of all of a sudden, now I don't have any issues. But when you understand that you are free of your guilt and your shame and your sin and that God loves you, and your heart starts to change and your mind starts to change, and pretty soon you see your habits start to change and you start to become a different person. Tonight I'm going to invite you to say a prayer. The prayer will be on the screen, and we'll leave it up there for a little while for you to pray through it, maybe even a couple times. And as you pray this prayer,
I want you to think about the mistake, the regret that you've been holding on to for a while. That maybe you've been beating yourself up for. That maybe other people have been beating you up for. And we want you to know that God loves you and He forgives you. And He wants to help. He wants to rescue you. He wants to save you. And once you've read through this prayer once, twice, whenever you're ready, if you're ready, we want to encourage you as a symbol to drop your rock on the floor. That I'm leaving my mistakes and my regrets at the feet of Jesus to forgive me, to save me, to rescue me. Let's read this prayer together.